Hey, my name is Nikki Strong. Shout out to all the fathers. Happy Father's Day. And to those of you who are mourning your fathers, my love and condolences to you as well. I'm Nikki Strong, and this is VOA 1, The Hits.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English.
Today on the program, you will hear from Pete Musto and Brian Lynn. Later, Kelly Jean Kelly will present America's Presidents. But first, Southeast Asian countries have become China's biggest trading partner this year. At the same time, economic activity in wealthier nations has slowed because of the spread of the COVID-19 disease. Trade between the Association of Southeast Asian Nations and China reached $240 billion in the first 5 months of 2020. That is an increase of 4.2% over the same period in 2019, China's state-run Xinhua News Agency said. Chinese trade with ASEAN is about 15% of its total trade worldwide. China began easing restrictions related to COVID-19 in March. Vietnam and Malaysia eased their restrictions soon after. Many countries in other parts of the world are still struggling with shutdowns, supply system reductions, and a lack of people buying products. Jonathan Revelis is the chief market strategist with Banco de Oro Unibank in the Philippine capital, Manila. He said that Asian countries followed COVID-19 shutdown restrictions more closely than Western nations. Revelis told VOA, "The way we do things, it's better to deal with your peers, and that's the reason for the potential bounce back in Asia." The European Union was China's top trading partner last year after pushing out the United States. But anti-coronavirus closures limited EU-China trade in the first 3 months of 2020, business advising group Desenshira and Associates says. Rajiv Biswas is Asia-Pacific chief economist with IHS Market in Singapore. He said factories in Europe bought fewer parts from China and shipped fewer finished goods, such as cars, back to China. The United States has a weaker trade partnership with China because of increased import tariffs. A sharp decrease in consumer buying during shutdowns across the United States further reduced trade. Biswas added, "The trade war and lockdowns this year have affected China-U.S. trade, and also with the EU since March, April, and most of May, most of Europe was heavily affected and in lockdown." ASEAN member countries and China had also reduced each other's costs with a no-tariff trade deal that took effect in 2010. ASEAN and China are expected to sign another deal, the Regional Comprehensive Economic Partnership, to improve trade further later this year. Rising wages among Southeast Asia's 640 million people permit growing numbers of Chinese goods, such as smartphones, to do well in the market. Industrialization of ASEAN member countries has created factories that buy materials from China to make finished goods. The products are then often sold in China. Chinese imports from Vietnam rose 24% in the first 3 months of 2020 compared to the same time period of 2019. The value of goods from Indonesia rose 13%. The Daesan Shira Group says that increase is because of increasingly integrated supply chains.
From Armani to Gucci, top fashion houses are slowing the rate at which they hold fashion shows and launch new lines of clothing. The move comes as the coronavirus health crisis forces the fashion industry to rethink the way it operates. High-end designers are reducing the number of collections they show at fashion weeks throughout the year in London, Paris, Milan, and New York City. It has been more than 2 months since health officials around the world announced stay-at-home orders to limit the spread of the coronavirus. Since then, many stores have been closed, and fashion houses have suspended work at factories that manufacture their products. Bain & Company, a business advisory service, estimates the $310 billion luxury goods industry will report a drop in sales this year of up to 35%. Fashion houses are struggling with lots of unsold products. And the possibility of price cuts on high-end goods could damage their public image as well as harm profits. Designer Michael Kors was the latest to call for a post-virus slowdown in the fashion calendar. His business pulled out of New York's fashion shows in September. Kors said he would only make two collections a year, one for spring and summer, and one for autumn and winter. This means no longer producing resort and pre-fall collections. These collections offer holiday wear for foreign travel. They have added to the number of designers' creations that critics say do not meet people's needs, especially in a recession. Robert Burke is founder of Robert Burke Associates, a service that advises luxury sales businesses. He told the Reuters news agency the move towards fewer collections is linked to the public's move away from disposable fashion. The debate about the nature of the fashion industry predates the coronavirus, but it has been given a sense of urgency by the health crisis, which is pressuring companies to cut costs and sell products without losing too much money. Kors said shipments of his products would from now on arrive in stores slowly over the spring, summer, and autumn, winter seasons. This more closely represents how customers actually live and shop, representatives of his company said. Armani, in an open letter to fashion industry publication WWD, said luxury businesses should stop following fast fashion delivery calendars. It makes no sense for one of my jackets or suits to live in the shop for 3 weeks before becoming replaced by new goods that are not too different, he wrote. Alessandro Michel, who made Gucci highly profitable for French owner Kering, has said he would cut the company's yearly shows from 5 to 2. And in its end May earnings presentation, Ralph Lauren said it was working on less seasonal products and more clothing that has all-around use. Lauren's chief financial officer, Jane Nielsen, said the summer collection would stay in stores through August. Companies like Gucci and LVMH's Dior have used more frequent collections and costly events in untraditional places to appeal to wealthy buyers, especially in China. With luxury spending hit by the crisis, some industry insiders say it no longer makes sense to have a huge advertising budget. A fashion show can cost well over $1 million. The move towards showing and producing less also is evidence of a changing relationship between fashion companies and big department stores in the United States. The store's owners long controlled the timing of product releases to keep their products looking fresh. Ron Frasch, former president of Saks Fifth Avenue, said the health crisis has sped up the collapse of Neiman Marcus and other top U.S. stores. The old method of doing business is now increasingly being called into question, he noted. Yet some fashion designers are resisting the call for a lighter fashion calendar. Chanel, which in a show of strength increased prices in May, said it would still release 6 collections a year. I'm Pete Musto.
A European spacecraft has discovered a green glow of oxygen in the atmosphere surrounding Mars. It is the first time this bright green light has been seen around any planet besides Earth. The spacecraft is called the ExoMars Trace Gas Orbiter. It is operated by the European Space Agency, ESA, and Russia's Space Agency. The orbiter, which launched in 2016, is equipped with instruments designed to search for the presence of methane and other gases in the Martian atmosphere. Such gases could provide evidence of any biological or geological activity around Mars. The instruments were developed by scientists at the Royal Belgian Institute for Space Aeronomy. The findings were recently published in a study in Nature Astronomy. On Earth, glowing oxygen is produced when energetic electrons from space hit the upper atmosphere. These naturally appearing lights, known as the polar auroras, create a bright green glow. Earth's green glow has been seen and captured in images by astronauts aboard the International Space Station. Now, for the first time, the same green glow has been observed in the atmosphere of Mars. Jean-Claude Chirard of the University of Liège in Belgium helped lead the research. He said the discovery is important because this green glow had never been seen around any other planet. This emission has been predicted to exist at Mars for around 40 years. And thanks to ExoMars, we've found it. In a statement announcing the findings, the ESA noted that in addition to light caused by auroras, the atmosphere of planets like Earth and Mars have a continuous glow, both day and night. This is caused by sunlight interacting with atoms and molecules within the atmosphere. Researchers explained that there are two likely reasons the green glow had not been observed in the atmospheres of other planets before. Either the planet surfaces were too bright to permit the light to be seen, or earlier space missions were not equipped with instruments sensitive enough to observe the glow. To try to overcome this issue, the scientists running the orbiter's experiments decided to change the positioning of the spacecraft's observation instruments. The usual positioning of the instruments was pointed directly down at the Martian surface. This time, though, the equipment was pointed in the direction of the edge of Mars in an effort to search for the daytime emission of oxygen. The researchers said pointing the instruments in this direction provided a similar position to images of the green glow captured by astronauts looking at Earth from the space station. Anne-Corinne Van Dael is a researcher at the Royal Belgian Institute for Space Aeronomy and a co-writer of the study. She reported the experiments were carried out between April and December 2019. During this time, the orbiter captured scans ranging from 20 to 400 kilometers from the Martian surface twice per orbit. Examinations of the scans found the green oxygen emission in all of them. The emission was strongest at an altitude of around 80 kilometers and varied depending on the changing distance between Mars and the Sun, Van Dael said in a statement. Another researcher, José Juan López Moreno, is with the Institute of Astrophysics of Andalusia in Granada, Spain. He said the discovery opens a window for the study of the behavior and photochemistry of this planet. He added that the study provides a valuable tool to help scientists understand the interaction of solar radiation with the Mars atmosphere. Miguel Ángel López Valverde is also a researcher at the Spanish Institute who took part in the study. He said the research may be of great interest for studying the atmospheres of planets in other solar systems and searching for signs of life. Researchers also noted that such experiments can help uncover details about the Mars atmosphere that can be used to plan and launch future missions to the planet. I'm Brian Lynn.
VOA Learning English presents America's Presidents. Today we are talking about Thomas Jefferson. Although he took office in 1801, he is still one of the country's best-known and most popular presidents. You can see a memorial honoring him in Washington, D.C. Jefferson is often linked to the country's history of self-government, separation of church and state, and public education. Over time, Jefferson's name also became linked to the continuation of slavery until the Civil War and to the loss of land for Native Americans. Jefferson was born in 1743 and grew up in the hills and low mountains of Virginia. His family's wealth enabled him to get an excellent education. Jefferson also learned to ride horses, dance, and explore the natural world. In the 1770s, Jefferson supported the American Revolution against Britain. He is probably most famous for being the lead writer of the Declaration of Independence. Jefferson went on to hold many positions in the country's new state and national governments. He served as governor of Virginia, a minister to France, secretary of state for President George Washington, and the vice president under President John Adams. Jefferson played an important part in the creation of the U.S., but he often wrote to friends about how he most wanted to retire from public service and return to his home in Virginia. In the 1760s, he designed a house there that he called Monticello. The word means little mountain in Italian. About 130 slaves lived on Monticello's grounds at any time. They worked in Jefferson's home, farms, and on special projects, such as making cabinets and nails. Jefferson owned about 600 slaves during his life, yet he said he disliked slavery. He believed God would judge slave owners severely. And, of course, Jefferson himself wrote in the Declaration of Independence, "All men are created equal and have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." Yet Jefferson did not use his political power to end slavery. He expected future generations would permit slavery to end slowly across the country. Jefferson's words and actions on slavery are contradictory. This conflict is especially evident because Jefferson likely had a long relationship with a slave at Monticello. Her name was Sally Hemings. Evidence suggests that Jefferson was the father of her six children of record. In 1801, Thomas Jefferson left Monticello to become the third U.S. president. His inauguration was the first held in Washington, D.C. Jefferson's government was a break from the earlier administrations. The first two presidents, George Washington and John Adams, supported a strong federal government. Jefferson, on the other hand, wanted to limit federal government. As president, Jefferson cut the national debt. He reduced the military. He disliked the power of the Supreme Court over the laws Congress made. And he rejected appearances that made the U.S. president look like a European king. One of the lasting images of Jefferson is of him receiving guests in old clothes and slippers. But as president, Jefferson also appeared strong and powerful when dealing with foreign nations. Jefferson increased American naval forces in the Mediterranean to guard against threats to American ships. And he permitted U.S. officials to buy a huge piece of land from France. Even though the Louisiana Purchase added to the national debt and exceeded the power the Constitution gave the president. In general, historians consider Jefferson's first term as president a success. Voters did too, because he easily won a second term. But those last 4 years were difficult. Jefferson's popularity suffered, especially when he stopped all American trade with Europe. Jefferson aimed to limit U.S. involvement in a war between Britain and France. Instead, critics say he ruined the American economy. Critics also attacked both Jefferson's political ideas and his personal qualities. George Washington worried that Jefferson would weaken the strong federal government he had worked hard to create. And even friends suggested in their letters that Jefferson was too idealistic. Jefferson's opponents also accused him of not being a Christian, although he said he was. However, he did not believe the government should make rules about religion. He wrote that the government should worry only about acts that hurt other people. He said, "It does not harm him if his neighbor says there are 20 gods or no gods. It neither picks my pocket nor breaks my leg." Jefferson's thinking on the separation of church and state remains important and, in general, popular in the U.S. today. However, Jefferson is linked to problems faced by Native Americans. He tried to get Indian nations to enter into treaties that ultimately took away their land. He wanted Native Americans to become more like European Americans. His policies made them depend on the federal government. And Jefferson took no major action to end slavery, either in his personal life or as a public official. At the end of his life, Jefferson wrote proudly about his accomplishments. He said he wanted to be remembered for three things: writing the Declaration of Independence, supporting religious freedom, and creating the University of Virginia. For the most part, he is. Jefferson also supported free public education, especially for those who could not pay for school. But his time at Monticello had many sorrows. His wife, Martha, had died in 1782 after difficulty in childbirth. Most of his children also died before him. In addition, the cost of improving and caring for Monticello, as well as the money he spent on fine wine and good food, had ruined him financially. Eventually, one of his daughters had to sell her father's beloved Monticello and the slaves who lived there to pay his debts. Jefferson died in his bed at the age of 83. The last detail of his life, which Americans love to tell, is that he died on America's birthday, exactly 50 years after the signing of the Declaration of Independence. I'm Kelly Jean Kelly.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And I'm Ashley Thompson.